Well, today we are celebrating a year in the life of our parish, and I really enjoy days like today when we can pause in the life of our church and give consideration to what it is that God has been doing among us. For me, this is so wonderful to be able to look back on a year where God has blessed us. And so we rejoice and proclaim to God, all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. And again, as it says in Isaiah, you have done these things so that people may see and know and may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done it, that the Holy One of Israel has created this. And in our AGM reports today, you will see signs of life and love, the compassion of God, the movement of the Holy Spirit, the ministry that God has called us on. And so in these things we catch a glimpse of Jesus. We see something of his compassion, and we sense the heartbeat of God's love for us and for our community as we pause and reflect on what God has done in the last year. You see, these are not sterile reports devoid of life, simply going through a process of ticking some boxes so that the administration is looked after. In these reports is the breath of God and the whisper of the Holy Spirit and the life-changing power of God for us and for the community in which we live. It speaks about what God has been doing, what the Holy Spirit has been up to in and through us. Lately, I've been thinking about the way God has been increasing the spiritual influence of the ministries of our church in recent years. And as I mention these things, I'm not blowing Greyfriars trumpet, but rather I'm acknowledging the hand of God at work in us. And you see, we are reaching further and further into the lives of families and children through our holiday programs. And four times a year during the school holidays, we're touching the lives of over 55 children with seeds of the gospel. And many of them come from non-Christian homes, so they don't receive the gospel at home. But when they come here for 3 or 4 days, or maybe for the whole week, they're hearing the gospel stories told to them. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit is taking them into their lives. And again, we're connecting with teenagers and young adults through our youth group and through Emerge. And while we recognize these are still small groups, they are groups that are strengthening within the life of our church. And we're building relationships with people at our new migrants class. And Jay Chole and the team that he has around him meet with them on Wednesday mornings. Of those people who come, about 80% do not come to our church. So we're connecting with people in the community. And of that 80%, a good number of them are not yet Christians. They come from other faith backgrounds. And I was speaking with one of them recently, a man from a Buddhist background, and he said to me, "I'm seeking truth." And I was so encouraged by his openness. And what happens is after the new migrant class, and as a part of how that rolls on, we have a Bible study. And most of those people will stay and will have the Bible study and hear something of that truth coming into their lives. And as was shared in our prayer today, we have a team at the moment in Mount Eden Prison. And they've gone to share the gospel with prisoners and to support them in prayer. Now, if you think back just a few years, these ministries either didn't exist or were very much in their infancy. But in these years and in the year past, God has widened the sphere of spiritual influence that he's allowing us to touch the lives of a variety of people who we were not connecting with before. In addition to that, of course, we have our long-standing programs connecting with children and families and people in our community. And if you take just a moment to think about that, the children, the 55 children, the people in the new migrant class or in the prison, and all of those sorts of ministries, think about how God is working in their hearts and in their lives. And what God can do with just a little seed of the gospel when it's taken to the life of a child, perhaps, and begins to grow and flourish and reach the family. Or when it reaches one of those prisoners. One of them we have ministered to in past weeks received 17 and a half years in prison this week. And they take with them something of the seeds of the gospel from Greyfriars Church as they go and serve that time, and God can work in their hearts and their minds with those things. And as you begin to imagine what is happening with all of these things, you find you just can't fathom what God is doing. You just can't understand how much God is able to do through all of these things. And it happens because of what God is doing through us here in this church at this time. And I want to just acknowledge that these things are immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. This is something of eternal significance that's happening in the lives of our church. And so the reports may just be ink on paper, but eternity is being explained in some of the things that are happening here. Today I want to take a step back from the individual ministries and think about the mission overall of our church, which is to help people know and follow Jesus. And if you've been a part of this church for any length of time, you will know that this is what we're aiming at and this is what we seek to do. Of course, sometimes we tend to forget and it fades a bit. And we need occasionally to have a reminder. This is what our church life is about. And this is so important because we have something for our community, something that they do not have, something that they dearly need. And we have this to be able to share with them. But if you are here today for the first time, or perhaps you're just seeking to understand something about God, something about the church, well, this is a great day to have come, because we're thinking about what's at the core and the heart of our church here. So what does it mean to know Jesus? Well, several things. One of them is we can know that Jesus exists. I say exists, and not that he existed, because the good news of the gospel is even though Jesus died on the cross, he rose again. And so many of us here could put up our hands and say we know him. He walks with us. We know what it's like to have him in our lives. And unlike other figures in the past, who we can only know about, we can actually get to know the living Lord Jesus as a friend and a savior. And some of you here may even have had a vision of him or seen him in a dream, some way that he has reached out and touched your life in a special way. Now, I haven't had a vision such as that, but I've had three special occasions in which I've heard the voice of the Lord speaking to me, not with my ears, but inwardly. Now, when I go through my day, I have this little dialogue that goes on in my head. And I sort of talk about things with myself. Sometimes it's the only sense I hear all day. And I know that voice so very, very well. But the times I'm talking about when Jesus has spoken to my life, it wasn't that voice. I know that voice. It was a totally different voice. And it's a voice that spoke with authority so that it was almost like I'm missing a heartbeat or an intake of breath. I wouldn't quite call it an electric shock, but it was just something that would stop me. and I knew this was a special moment when something special was being said. Now, you might think, if God is going to talk to you, get out a pen and paper and write it down, because everyone needs to know this. But this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that he wanted to say to me personally. And so there was a time when I was just testing my call to ministry before I'd become a minister, and I thought, not sure. I'm not sure about this. I think I'll go back to my old job. And just as I had that thought, all of a sudden I felt a boom in my life. And Jesus said to me, I have closed that door. You cannot go back. And that was a part of what helped me to come in and follow this call through into ministry. On another occasion, and I've talked about this with you at some length, but just to summarize, I had wanted to be able to speak in tongues. This was when I was 16 or 17, and it hadn't happened, and I'd sought it, and it hadn't happened. And about 3 or 4 years after that, I was reading my Bible and reading a Christian book, and I heard this voice. Speak now. I wasn't thinking about speaking in tongues, but I just knew what that voice was talking about. And I opened my mouth and I started speaking in tongues. And then on the last occasion I'm going to tell you about was I went into a hall a little bit bigger than this one. And in the far corner there was a piano and there were 3 or 4 people standing around it. And there was Melanie, and boomf, the voice said to me, that's the girl you're going to marry. Now, at the other service, after the service, someone suggested to me that might have just been your hormones. But I want to tell you, that was the voice of God speaking to me. And in fact, I said back to God, because I was a little bit cheeky, I said, if this is your idea, I'm not going to do any chasing. And Melanie will tell you, she found a boldness that she has never known before to come and talk to me. Anyway, so because of these things, we can know that he is real. He exists. And so we can know him. And I'm sure that you have known him through the scriptures, and those of you who walk with him have known him in your hearts. You just know. You know that he exists. And we read in the scriptures, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And you can know him, the reality of his presence, and have his spirit as a constant companion through life. We can also know what Jesus has done. And we read this in the Gospels. We read about the events of his birth, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his travels, his teaching, his miracles. As an historical figure, he left a mark on the people that he met. And that sent ripples throughout history. Life touching life, touching life, heart touching heart, mind reaching to mind, so that generations of people have come to know him. And it's just changed the direction of our world. Not all of the events in his life were written down, but many of them were. And we read of him turning water into wine, walking on water, raising Lazarus from the dead. We can know that he died for us, that he rose from the grave, that the tomb was empty. And in John's Gospel we read, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. And because of all this wonderful history, 4 Gospels full of the things that Jesus did, we can know what he has done. And we can know his character. Again, looking at the scriptures, the Gospels take us up close and personal with Jesus. It takes us to him, looking at him in different angles on the things that he was doing. We see him in public and how he talks with the crowds. We see him how he talks with those who oppose him. We see how he deals with individuals and how he acts and reacts with tricky questions. were taken into some of his private conversations with his disciples. We see him at a wedding, at a funeral, at a party, and at a formal dinner. We're introduced to his personal prayer life. We're drawn as visitors to the place of his birth. We stand alongside the disciples at the foot of the cross and at the empty tomb, rushing in with Peter. And even on the cross, we see Jesus' character revealed. In all these interactions with people, we see Jesus' character unfold in so many ways. We see his humility, his compassion, and his courage. He talks with all sorts of people, including the poor and the outcast. He interacts with women and shows them respect and teaches them along with the other disciples. And through all of this, you can really know what Jesus was like as a person, have a clear and consistent insight into his character. Now, you might think of other ways that we get to know things about Jesus. But at the very least, we can know that he exists, we can know what he has done, and we can know his character, what he is like. But while that knowledge is enriching, it will only take you so far. To confirm that knowledge, to deepen it, to appreciate it, you also need to follow Jesus. And so in our mission we say to help people know and follow Jesus. But what do we mean by that? Well, we mean that you need to believe. You need to put your trust in Jesus, to repent of your sin, to trust and believe that he can free you from that sin, that he can bring to you forgiveness. And so we read in Romans, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And I know that there are people in our congregation who have gained knowledge about Jesus, but haven't yet stepped over that line into believing in Jesus. And you may have read the Bible, you may have talked to Christians, you may have given time to explore and study about Jesus, but to really know him, you have to take the step of following him. You know, there's a sense in which you can look at this chair, you can see its design features, you consider what it's about, you can have a sense that it's got some strength, you can know a great deal about this chair. But until you actually sit on it, you're not trusting it. I can trust all you to sit on your chairs, but I'm not trusting anything because I'm standing here. Until I actually put my weight on it and put my trust in it, and then I know in a stronger and deeper and richer way that that chair is able to hold me, and it's the same with Jesus. You can only know so much until you put your faith in him, until you trust in him, until you lean on him and find in him your Savior. You know, I'd be happy if you haven't taken that step of leaning on Jesus, trusting in him, to help you to do that. There's a prayer on the front of the bulletin today if you want to do that privately. But even if you do it privately, please talk to someone about it. To Jay Chole or to myself, to a Christian friend or family member. Let them know that you have put your faith in Jesus. Another thing that we do is obey. Because Jesus has given us commands. And we're not here just to live our own life for ourselves and do what we want. Jesus has come, given us teaching, given us commandments, calling us so that we can obey him. He's not only our Savior who will hold us up and save us. He is our Lord, the boss of our lives, who will lead us throughout our lifetime. He once summed up the commands and directions of the Old Testament for us, saying to love God and to love our neighbors. That fulfills the commandments. And so we are called to do that. And in 1 John we read, this is love for God, to obey his commands. You can't be disobeying and saying you love God. I love God, but I'll just disobey him all the time. That doesn't work. This is love for God, to obey his commandments. And those commandments are not burdensome. So it's not a duty, but an expression of love. So when we follow Jesus, we obey him with joy. And then the last thing I want to say on this is holiness. Because we are called to be holy, and we can't be what we have been. And we can't live as the world lives. We are called to be holy and righteous people. And so we've got to do these holy and righteous things. We're called to allow Jesus into our hearts and lives, that by his Spirit he would begin this work of sanctifying us, which means making us holy. And it may take a lifetime. In 1 Peter we read, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy. Be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy. And God wants to do this work in our lives. And as we follow Jesus and allow him to bring that holiness to us, allow him to sort of chip away at the things that have been part of our lives that shouldn't be there, allow him to build up the good and righteous things that he wants to be there, then we know all the more what it is to follow him. And God will use the situations of our lives to refine us as gold and silver. Sometimes it's in the furnace of affliction, when things are hard, that he tries us and tests us and makes us refined, getting rid of the old dross from our lives. Now, being human, sometimes we cooperate and sometimes we resist. And we know what that is like. And we know when we come to those times when we've got to again turn to God and invite him and ask him, Lord, please do that work in my life, so that the old habits and the ideas and the characteristics deeply embedded within us can be gently and firmly changed by God, who works on us through all this life. See, we're complex beings. God doesn't do it all at once, but he will do it. He loves us as we are, but he will never leave us that way. In fact, he won't leave you as you are now. He will do a deeper work and a richer work and a fuller work in your lives if you will allow him. And so we see these basics of what it means to follow Jesus, to believe, to obey, to become holy. And you might add some other things to that list. And I know that many of you in this church already understand those things and have a grasp of this mission to be able to help people know and follow Jesus. But how do we do that for others? You've got it, but how do we do it for others? Well, part of this, we need to think in terms of come and go. Jesus says sometimes, come unto me and rest. So sometimes we invite people, come. Come. Come and know him. And other times, as he said, to go into all nations, we go. We go with that good news of Jesus. And when we go with it to someone, we say to them, come. And then we tell them to go. Come. We go to people, to our families, to our friends, to the people we meet in our day-to-day activities. We're always on the go. We go shopping. We go to the garage. We go to work. We go to sports. We go to the cafes. We go to the gym. You might add other places that you go to through the week where you interact with people. And we need to be this come and go people. We have a green light from God. He said go, and he hasn't yet said stop. We have this light from God to go. And part of what this means is to seek and save the lost, remembering that lost people really do matter to God. I think one of the saddest stories in our nation in the recent weeks was of two men who were running away from the police and ran into the bush at the edge of Tauranga, the national park. And initially they were running away and hiding. They'll never find us here. Isn't that so, so sad? But then realizing they were lost and in trouble, they phoned asking to be rescued. They wanted to be found. But it seems that hypothermia set in. One symptom of this is euphoria, where they suddenly feel warm. And they took off their clothes, and the police have found the clothes and the shoes. But that's the wrong thing to do when you're cold. You know, it's hard for us to connect with people who are hiding from God, who have, as it were, run into the bush and don't want to be found. But there are those who realize that they're lost and they're in trouble and they need help to find their way in life. And it may be difficult. We may not be able to help those who are hiding, but for those who are seeking and wanting to know, and there are many of them, we can help them to come to know God. And we can do this by modeling Christian love, even for those who are hiding. Perhaps there are some in your workplace who have said to you before, "No, don't talk to me about that anymore." Just keep on modeling the love of Christ. Be who you are, a child of God. Show them what it is like to be a compassionate and loving and kind and merciful person. Model Christianity before them. You know, stuff was going on in their lives, much of it internally, that you don't see. They have questions about their lives and their meaning and their purpose. Yes, they do. They have questions about these things. They have issues and they struggle. And sometimes they see their lives spiraling out of control, or they see bad things happening to their friends. And they know when they've started to go through life, I'm not reaching those levels, those aspirations I had in life. I'm not reaching those things. They know that. They know when the tension has ratcheted up in their marriage. They know when their finances or their work situation is going strangely, not going well for them. They know when they're at their wit's end, when they have all their strength used up and spent, and when they've hit a wall. And hopefully they don't need to get too low before, like the prodigal son, they come to their senses and reach out for help. Sometimes you just need to model love, unconditional love, until they're ready to talk. And then you need to talk. You need to be able to share the gospel with them. But till then, you might have to wait and be patient. But if you're doing the waiting, patient stuff, pray and pray and pray and pray again. Because your model of love may be the only beacon they have on their bleak horizon. And I want to say to you that when they're ready, there's a church that's ready to help. To help you and to help them. Through alpha courses, a long story short, through growth groups, all sorts of ways. And I want to emphasize and say the part that you play is important. And I want to thank you for the part that you play. Our reports tell the story of the things that you have been doing. The way that God has been working through you in this year. You see, the group and the ministry team that you are part of is helping us to achieve things of eternal significance. And whether you are young or old, a new Christian or a mature Christian, your service helps this to happen. Your prayers for God to work among us are being answered. Your gifts of time and energy and finance are helping these things to occur. So in this church, we want to see people converted to Christianity, finding faith in Jesus, growing as disciples, living faithfully, serving God, and worshiping together with us, His people. We're looking for our unsaved loved ones, family members, friends, and workmates to discover this joy, this peace of what it means to know and follow Jesus. And in the year ahead, we will keep that faith. We will keep going. We will keep reaching out. We will keep sharing things with others in the hope that they will begin to seek and find and cry out to the Lord. We will do this with our eyes fixed on Jesus. We will do this with each other, side by side, helping each other to fulfill what God is calling us to. We will do it through all sorts of ministries and events. And we will hold out light and hope to the people around us so that we shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. The ministry team is going to lead us. And as they come, let's just take a little moment of silence. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, we thank you with all that we are, from the depth of our being, for what you have done in bringing us salvation. We thank you for what you've enabled us to do in this church, the wonders of your love shed around us. Oh, Lord, we give you great thanks In the depth of our being, Lord, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in heart and soul and mind, and we rejoice with our voices because you are God who is worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.